Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation. America's sports voice. KMOX.
Hanging out until 10 o'clock tonight, a post-game edition of the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you. Going to talk a little hockey coming up as the Blues fall tonight. 2-1 to the Islanders in overtime. Pick up a point, but unable to make it four straight wins in a row. Just a moment. We're going to hear from Brian Lawton. Heard just a little bit from him on our Blues intermission coverage, but chance for that full conversation because we covered a variety of topics earlier today with the NHL Network analyst. Well, then talk a little soccer. Austin officially named the 27th franchise in Major League Soccer earlier today, and Dan McLaughlin and his great website, ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, has a chat with Jim Cavanaugh and Carolyn Kindle Betts, talking about what that means for St. Louis, their reactions to the news, and where the project to bring Major League Soccer to St. Louis goes from here. So all of that coming up as we hang out after Blues Hockey until 10, and that's exactly where we start. We always enjoy spending some time chatting with Brian Lawton. Of course, he's done it all in the NHL, former player, agent, GM. Now, you can see him on NHL Network. Follow him on Twitter at BrianLawton9. Brian, how are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
We're doing well. We're trying to figure out this Blues team, as I'm sure a lot of teams in, especially the West, are trying to figure things out. Blues team that wins last night in Washington. They take on the Islanders tonight. They are 20-20-4. First time all season they've won three games in a row. But despite that and despite a lot of the struggles, still just 3 points out of a playoff spot. It seems like that's kind of the story of the West this year, Brian. Aside from maybe a couple of teams that have been nice stories, no one really has run away with anything so far.
No, it doesn't appear that anybody wants that eighth spot right now. That's really the shock. When I come into every season, I sit down and run some models in terms of what I expect positions to be to get in, what I expect from teams. There's a lot of teams underachieving. The St. Louis Blues I put in that category, although they are coming on like a freight train right now, to be fair. But I expect that last spot in the summertime to go with about 96 points plus or minus three. Right now, it's cracking like it might be about 88 plus or minus three. And that's remarkable to me. That just doesn't happen. So the St. Louis Blues may just be getting a gift from heaven, along with a few other teams that are competing for that last and final playoff spot.
You know, I think that the Blues especially have been such an anomaly this year, Brian, because they've been kind of a team that, despite being right at 500, it hasn't really looked like a 500 team. And what I mean by that is there have been nights where they look like they can play with the best in the entire league. Last night in Washington, putting the clamps down. A couple of weeks ago against Washington, putting the clamps down and winning convincingly each time. There are also stretches when they just shoot themselves in the foot and they can look as bad as anyone I've seen all year. What does that say about a team when you're around 500? Is it any more encouraging or is it more frustrating to have the kinds of extreme peaks and valleys?
Well, I just feel like it's been a year transition for the Blues, quite frankly, and I've said it before. I was really bullish on what the management did over the summer. I thought that on paper, they looked like a team that certainly would challenge for what I thought would be at worst third or fourth in the Central. And that was worst-case scenario. I thought they might have even had the potential to go above that. When you bring in a Ryan O'Reilly, obviously they bring back Perron. You've already got Tarasenko, Shen, Schwartz. You bring in a guy like Bozak. You've got Pietrangelo, Parayko. Expectations were high, and they couldn't have started any worse, any flatter. Obviously, they changed their coaching staff. It doesn't really go any better immediately. But it feels like it's starting to catch now, and that's encouraging for this team.
I think that when you looked at the additions they made and we're starting to see some of them pay off, you know, I shudder to think where this team would be without Ryan O'Reilly and also without bringing David Perron back, despite, again, the fact that they're still on the outside looking in from a playoff spot. What do you like about those two guys, about their kind of game, and what have you seen on the opportunities you've had to see Ryan O'Reilly now in the West after the Blues made the acquisition last summer to get him from Buffalo?
Well, I've always thought that Ryan O'Reilly would be a tremendous number two center on a really good team. As it's worked out, he's really been their top center. He's been their top forward, quite frankly, in my opinion. So that's a little bit shocking for me, but good on Ryan O'Reilly for making the transition to a new organization and playing so well right out of the gate at a point a game. That's better than I would have expected from him. I thought he could be a 60 to 65 point player, be that prototypical kind of Ron Francis type guy that could put up points but really could shut down the other team's top players. As it's been, he's been their leading scorer, and I credit him for that. But I think the group has to find a way between the other guys that they have on their roster to get that back in the right position. You know, you've got guys like Tarasenko, obviously, but in terms of other centers, you've got a guy like Braden Schenn. I thought he would be their number one center. I really did. You know, those are some of the problems that they've had. And then when you couple that with the fact that the goaltending was really poor until recently, it's been an uphill battle for this group. But guess what? The biggest thing they have in their favor, even though they're right there right now with four other teams, you know, you got four teams with 47 points. The Blues have 44, but the Blues have 3-2 and at least one game in hand on all those teams in front of them. So I like where they're at. They have done a great job to get themselves back into the conversation. And if their goaltending continues to be good, then there's no reason why they couldn't jump up and earn a playoff spot.
Couple more minutes with Brian Lawton from NHL Network here on St. Louis Blues Radio and your home for the Blues KMOX. Goalies, such a lightning rod. And the Blues committed to Jake Allen, both in a contract and also in some of the moves to send other guys out or part ways with guys like Carter Hutton, who earned opportunities. And I know it's always easy to criticize a goaltender, and sometimes, like I suppose in football, Brian, the backup can be the most popular guy in town. But if you look at Jake's numbers this year, he's not too far off from guys like Corey Crawford and Sergei Bobrovsky and Jonathan Quick and Henrik Lundqvist and Connor Hellebuck, despite how good he's been recently. Carey Price, we saw with Montreal, that contract just ridiculous, what Montreal's going to have down the line. I mean, I think it's always easy to criticize the goaltender, but it's not like some of the big-name goaltenders that we're used to seeing, you know, in the Vezina conversation every year are exactly lighting up the league this season.
No, we've seen a dynamic change in the National Hockey League. All you have to do is look at the leading scorers, Kucherov, 75 points in 46 games, trending potentially to be above 130. That hasn't happened since like 1996-97 with Mario Lemieux. There's been a massive change that's going on all throughout the league, and that is that the standards, just look at a guy like Devin Dubnyk. He's pretty much been a 918 to a 923 goaltender in terms of save percentage, and he's playing exactly the same, in my opinion, as he's played in the previous two or three years, and he's down in the 910 to 912 range. That is what the changes in goalie equipment and the way that the officiating is calling the game has just been a repercussion of all that. And the goaltenders are the guys that have had the biggest bite taken out of their game. That is 100% clear to me. So for a guy like Jake Allen, who's trying to establish himself as that prototypical number one guy that can lead a franchise into the playoffs and do some damage, it was a really tall order for him this year under the guise of these other changes. The fact of the matter is that he's playing better for me now, but he still could play even better.
Sure.
And his save percentage should be in that 9-10 range, which it isn't right now, as we all know. Could he get there? Yeah, he absolutely could. If he does, the St. Louis Blues will make the playoffs.
How do you think what you just alluded to, Brian, is going to affect how contracts are handed out to goaltenders moving forward, knowing what the cap implications are, and knowing how someone like Carey Price, who has a $10.5 million cap hit this year, and I know there are some escalators and bonuses in that deal, but someone like Carey Price, someone like Henrik Lundqvist, who's now 36, Corey Crawford, how some of these deals are going to affect their teams. How do you think that will maybe change how the market views goaltenders and how those contracts are given out?
I think the standards are going to have to be reset. I think it's going to be a tough go-around for some guys that do happen to be up this year, because it's very easy to claim too small a sample size before we're ready to reset the market based off of new numbers. And yet, for me, I think that's exactly what's happened. Good luck to the agents that are going to try to make that case this summer and maybe even next. But eventually, you'll still have an established standard. And will Carey Price be one of those guys setting it? Yeah, I think so. Will Henrik Lundqvist? Probably not for that much longer. Corey Crawford, he's injured. So it'll be the Connor Hellebucks and then next group, the John Gibsons of young guys that you know are studs in this league, but may not have the numbers that we've seen in the past. They may come down, and when they do, and people associate that with the quality goaltending that some of these guys are giving, the standards will be reset at that time. But it's going to be a little bit of chaos. Whenever there's chaos, you have arbitrage. But I think it's going to be hard for the goaltenders to take advantage of it. I think the teams are going to get a little bit of a bonus on that side.
Brian, finally, obviously, All-Star Weekend coming up next weekend in San Jose. We'll have the All-Star Game here in St. Louis next year. Alexander Ovechkin, who we've seen a couple times in the last few weeks from a Blues perspective, has made his intentions well known about not participating. That's something, along with the bye weeks, the time off, but also the ramifications of not going, that was collectively bargained. You've been on both sides of the aisle. As we see this play out, and as we see it play out over the next couple of years, do you think that the bye weeks, the time off, but also players maybe not wanting to participate will have to be looked at or will be addressed or will become more a topic of conversation?
I think so. For me, like, Alex Ovechkin's been a really good soldier for the league.
Sure.
I personally will give him a pass. He's done so much. He's gone out of his way. He wins the Stanley Cup. It was a long summer. The obviously All-Star Game this year is in San Jose. He plays on the East Coast. Got to go all the way to the West Coast. I get it. He went to his organization and said, look, I'm tired. You want me for the playoffs? I need some type of break here. It's been a long season already, and the schedule's really picking up now, because not only do we have the All-Star break, but we also have bye weeks. I'm not a fan of the bye weeks. I'm just not. I know you get a week off. I know it may feel good. It condenses the rest of the schedule to a level, to me, that's unacceptable. And I wish the players would rethink that. I don't think the league wants a bye week. I think the players do. I think they love it in theory. I think it's hurting their careers long term. I hope that gets relooked at. In terms of the All-Star game, St. Louis, just by virtue of where it's located, is more attractive for players on both coasts to play. And I think they'll have tremendous participation next year. I'm looking forward to it. I always cover the All-Star game for NHL Network, and it's something I really look forward to. I am this year, and I will be next year.
Brian Lawton, of course, you can catch him on NHL Network, NHLNetwork.com, and give him a follow on Twitter, a great follow, at BrianLawton9. Hey, we always appreciate you making some time for us, Brian. We will chat very, very soon. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.